Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskan. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Voskan provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, Blueberry, and now on Stitcher Radio. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Voskan, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 297 of The Next Step. This is a podcast that, well, melds it together, puts it together, kind of a hybrid, taking the most ancient of all Christian traditions, Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up in a new look for today, an Armodox look. We're inviting you to take this next step with us. This is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission and brought to you by epostle.net. If you're ready, let's take the next step. A beautiful day here in Southern California. I am recording from Epostle East Studios. That's in Pasadena, California. And actually, we started this recording a few hours ago, but we scratched it because I had to go and participate with our In His Shoes homeless outreach at Ascensia. And I, you know what? I said when I got back to finish it up, I said, let's scrap it. We got some new ideas going. And I wanted to share with you all those ideas. Today, by the way, I'm going to be talking about time. What do you think about time, huh? You like that? That's one of those things that we never have enough of, right? I think when you're younger, you have too much of it. Right, you can't wait till time goes by. I remember as a kid, you know, you wait for the next opportunity when your life gets filled with stuff. Whether it's you can't wait till your birthday, you can't wait till your Christmas, you can't wait till you make it to junior high, you can't wait till you go to high school, you can't wait till you drive a car. You know, it's always you can't wait, you can't wait. Then you get to a point when you get to be, from the dinosaur age like me, and then you say, okay, hold on, you know. Why is it all moving too quickly? What's going on? But actually, I'm going to be talking about time in a different perspective as far as the time being right to do stuff. But anyway, I wanted to start off with a couple different ideas, especially since I got back from Ascensia. You might notice that our microphone's a little bit different today. We're trying a different microphone. I have a feeling it's not good. It's not going to be the one that we end up using for the next step. But we had a little bit of an issue moving some stuff around. So anyway, I hope you'll deal with the microphone issue today. Okay. Let me know. Yeah, maybe you like it, right? Yeah. Say, wow, who's this guy with a deep voice, huh? Well, anyway, I'm also battling a cold and all kinds of other stuff, too. So it all combines to my voice effect. But this is what I want to share with you. We've been studying the book of James in the Bible, one of the epistles, okay? So after the Gospels in the New Testament, I got to start referring to it as the Testament, huh? Actually, it goes with what I'm going to be talking about today. I'm getting really annoyed at the Old Testament. Very annoyed. Because people are taking it as a literal work. Last week we talked about creationists who actually believed that there was a guy named Mr. Adam and a woman named Mrs. Eve. We talked about the literal interpretation of so many of these stories. And I had an opportunity this week, a very, very, very tragic situation, but I was dealing with a family who had gone through a tragedy, one of those tragedies that you just, it's beyond belief, you know, the loss of a child, and in such a tragic way. And I was talking with the couple, the parents, and, you know, I think people mean so well. I used to think that people were just trying to be mean, but I think people mean so well. They come up to you and they don't know how to deal with your tragedy, and so they come up to you and they offer advice, you know. And so she was telling me, the mother of the child who had passed away, she said that a few people had offered her the book of Job and said, here, go read the book of Job. And the book of Job, that's the guy who's being played as a pawn in this the chess game of life between God and the devil. And let's see, how much can Job bear? How bad can we make his situation? And she confessed to me, she said, you know, I didn't understand what that had to do with me. I mean, is this what you want me to believe? That God's just basically up there playing this game with us. And it drove the point home really strong for me, because, you know, for the last several months in particular, but throughout my ministry, I've been, we've always focused on the testament, on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ being the eternal God who manifests himself in the form of incarnate love. And during the past few months, I've been so annoyed by people who've been taking this literal translation of the Old Testament and applying it. And so last night when we were doing our Bible study, we got into the book of James, the letter of James. Wonderful, wonderful letter. I mean, you know, in fact, I've got to tell you honestly, it was so good. We finished it up last night. I said, I'm going to be reading this on my own. I mean, I wish I could spend more time with it, and I'm going to be spending more time with it just personally. What a beautiful letter. It's a pastoral letter. It's a letter of advice. It's a letter of living, of being the ultimate life of love and compassion by putting your faith into action. Anyway, last night we looked at one of the passages in which James, in talking about this, he talks about how in one of the Old Testament stories, one of the prophets had prayed and there wasn't rain for 3 years, and then it rained because of his prayers and everything. And I explained it in this way. I mean, people start thinking that, okay, it's this guy who gets up and he's been praying, and so all of a sudden this happens. No, it's just the opposite. It's afterwards using that story to explain something. And I can't impress upon you enough how important it is for us to understand the Old Testament, what is called the Old Testament, in terms of this story of a group of people. It is not salvific. There's no salvation in the Old Testament. Okay? There are a bunch of stories. It's a collection of stories that you can't take literally, too. You know, I mean, the most famous of these is the Noah's Ark, right? God floods the world because he can't find one honest guy. Come on. How about the kids that were born a few weeks ago? How about the kid that was born last week? What was his sin? I mean, you cannot take this literally. What you can say is that, okay, it's a basic understanding of, hey, look, the wrath of God, this is, you gotta play it by the rules, otherwise you're gonna get clobbered in the end, and so on, okay? I mean, there's reasons why you use these stories. And I can't impress upon you how important it is for us to develop the new stories. That's why I never hesitate referring to the stories of my grandparents, who were out in the wilderness, were out there in the desert, who were exiled from their homeland, and were under the persecution, raped, pillaged of their land by the Turks. And they went out, and they walked and walked and walked. They buried their children in the desert. They watched their people be destroyed, and yet they created a life. And not only did they create a life, but it was a life filled with thanksgiving to God. Now, don't you think that's a story of a miracle that we can start using too? And we must. The other day when I heard President Obama, he was giving his State of the Union, and I forgot what it was. At some point he referred to something about the Founding Fathers, or maybe it was the Pilgrims or something. But think about the Pilgrims, okay, here in the United States. Group of people looking for religious freedom, and they go out, and despite the persecution, despite the difficulties they had to endure, they sit down and they have their Thanksgiving meal. That in itself is a story. That in itself is a story that doesn't bring you to salvation. But what it does is it explains how faith can be lived. Martin Luther King Jr., the stories of the civil rights movement, these two. But the salvation comes to us from God. It comes to us in the form of Jesus Christ, who is the living incarnation of love. Now you put all this together and you got what we call Larmidoxy. But it's basically the ultimate faith. It's the faith that Christ was talking about. He was saying, okay, you know, you remember there's so many opportunities where people come up to him and say, oh, look at our forefather was Abraham. And he says, come on, big deal your forefather was Abraham. God can make Abraham out of this stone. Or they came up to Jesus and said, our fathers ate manna in the desert. And Jesus said, yeah, they ate manna in the desert, but they died. What I'm giving you is something that's eternal. And that's something that the Testament, the New Testament, can do for us. It can connect us to the eternal. Now, this week, we also had, a couple days ago, we were with some architect that was working on a project at the Datev Monastery in Armenia. And in June, I don't know if you've, you know, let me make a note, put a link on our show notes to our pilgrimage. There's a few seats left on it. If you want to a change of life, I can't impress upon you how beautiful this pilgrimage is going to be in June. We're going for three weeks. We're going to be going to the Mount Ararat from both sides. We're going to be going to Armenia proper for 2 weeks, and then historic Armenia for a week, going on the other side of the mountain and taking opportunity to go to some of the most sacred spaces on earth, the most sacred places where we're going to be bowing our heads in wonder of what is this all about. And certainly, Datev, the monastery of Datev, is one of those places. It's just out there. You say, what did these people do in the 7th century? What prompted them to take these stones and put one stone on top of the other and create these magnificent structures pointing to the glory of God? Exactly. You know, it's like, what is this? You go and look at these. Anyway, we met with the architect and we were playing around with some of those numbers and the idea of the mandala, which you see on the chachkas. And that, of course, is a whole separate podcast, a whole separate thing that I'm looking forward to really exploring and sharing with our listeners. There is so much of spiritual oneness with the universe within Armenian Orthodoxy, within Armidoxy. And it's really important that we get away from this idea that we are ethnically based, whether it is the traditions of the Jews in the Old Testament or even the traditions of the Armenians within our culture. But understand that love is universal, that there is something that touches us. And we as Armenians, as Armenian Orthodox, through Armenian Orthodoxy, have been privied to be on that land, have been privied to be on that very sacred space on earth and pointing to these things. So I'm really, really looking forward to it, and it's going to be one of these great, I think, transforming trips for all of us. But anyway, I use this as a kickoff, because I use this as a transition to talk about, we just got back from Ascensia, where we fed homeless, and we did it in the name of one of our dear men who had passed away a few years ago, I think about 8 years ago, and his wife sponsored this meal. It was a beautiful way, a loving tribute to her husband. And she told me today she did it because it was Valentine's Day. And what better way of expressing love than to be able to do something like that? And you say, something like what? Well, think about it. The expression of love. It's eternity, right? Okay, think about it. Okay, what did Jesus do? The expression of love. He gave us eternal life. And she kept her husband's memory going. Right? Beyond his physical existence. An expression of love. Okay, so all of these people are getting food, getting substance, and a memory is being honored. And this all ties in with what St. James was talking about in that beautiful letter that he wrote. Because what he comes down to, this is the bottom line on that letter that we find in the New Testament. It says, it doesn't matter if you have faith. It's not about having faith. And he says, what good is it to say, I have faith, but then when somebody's out there hungry and you're not feeding them, what good is that faith? And so St. James really challenges us. And tonight, in this expression that I saw, and especially a Valentine's expression, I understood that. And you know, you got so many people who are out there and they're just like saying, hey, I believe. And you know, Protestantism has done a really good number on this. You know, it's basically like saying, Jesus saves, right? That's the mission statement, right? Jesus saves. So let's teach you that Jesus saves. Okay, well, what are you denying people? You're denying an opportunity to become human, an opportunity to take responsibility for life. It's not a question of Jesus saves or not. Of course he saves, but it doesn't end there. And St. James makes a point of that. It's not about just having this faith, but it's actually articulating that faith in different ways by reaching out. Faith with works, he talks about. Now, this happens on Valentine's Day. It also happens that tomorrow is Diarantarach, the presentation of the Lord. We're going to be talking about that in a minute when I talk about time. But I also want to make this move from Valentine's to our Valentine's, who is Sayat Nova. Now, I'm going to just leave it up to you, okay? If you're interested in this, and I hope you will be, go into the archives of Next Step. I've talked about this quite often. How Sayat Nova, for me, is the Armenian Orthodox Saint Valentine. And we need to understand what an incredible person he was. Now, why am I saying this? Well, think about what I was saying a few minutes ago, right? It's about understanding that all of these people, they're not salvific, but they give us examples. Whether it's Saint Valentine, whether it's this lady who was feeding the homeless, or whether it was Sayat Nova, they're all equal. They point to love being articulated. Okay? And if we have these examples, we should use these examples as well. To pointing to how the gospel message, how Jesus Christ is manifest in this world. Now, today happens to be the eve of Diarantarach, which is the presentation. I'll be talking about that in a couple minutes. I did say we're going to be talking about time. Here is an old artist. She's a Paul McCartney discovery back in 1968. And she sings, a big biblical passage from Ecclesiastes. Turn, turn, turn. This is Mary Hopkins.
To every purpose under heaven. everything turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. And a time to every purpose under heaven.
The artist there is Mary Hopkins singing Turn, Turn, Turn. And, of course, the theme we have today is about time. And where I'm going with this is, well, it begins with the story of Diadan Tarach, or the presentation. Now, I've explained to you that, if you're going by the Western world, the calendar, December 25th as Christmas, you have Candlemas, which is 40 days after Christmas, on February 2nd, sometimes marked here in the Western world by events called Groundhog's Day. That has more to do with the midwinter feast. We're right in the middle of winter, so do we have more winter? Do we have spring close by? Is it going to warm up soon? Just cute little things. Again, think about it, okay? Groundhog's Day. It's just one of these stories. It's not meant to be taken literally. There's a lot of fun in it, too, all right? It's okay to have fun. Okay, now if you're going by the calendar that is the most ancient of the calendars, namely what the Armenian Orthodox Church follows, that Christmas is on January 6th, then you've got another 40 days later, another day, and that happens to be February 14th. So, not really St. Valentine's Day, but a day called the Presentation of the Lord, Candlemas, which is also in Armenian Diadan Tarach. Now, here's the deal. It comes to us from the Gospel of Luke. It's biblical. It comes to us from Holy Scripture, this story that 40 days after Jesus was born, St. Mary and St. Joseph took Jesus to the temple. Why? Because the scripture says, because the time had come. The time had arrived for the purification and the presentation. Now, think about this for a minute, okay? It's not just about presenting Christ, presenting Jesus at the temple, which was the custom. You know, a young man comes to this world, he is presented to the temple. But it was also the time of purification. That's what I want to center on, okay? The time of purification. For a woman, St. Mary, after childbirth, okay, there is this period in which the body has to readjust. I mean, it's gone through this major trauma, right? Delivery of a child is a major trauma on the body, not only psychologically, not only on the self and the pain that's involved, but the body itself endures some major trauma. So the time of purification, this 40-day period, is for the mother to recoup and essentially find that balance, get back to equilibrium. So you've had this human body that's come out of you, and then all of a sudden your body's endured all kinds of difficulties. There's the placenta that has been delivered as well, and your body all of a sudden is void of these two huge objects. One a human being, one's a placenta. And now you got to come back to equilibrium, okay? Come back to where you were. And so you need this time. There was a time. Now, we all know this, okay? You come back to equilibrium. And this is what I want to share with you. What is that time? That time of equilibrium, that time of finding equilibrium in your life. I think because we live at such a high, in such a high-tech world, where things are being tossed at us at phenomenal rates, okay? You've got information being pushed at you. I mean, just watch a small little TV show, just open up a website and see what comes on your page, just go to a news site and see all the news that took place, not in the last week, not in the last day, but in the last few minutes. Think about how news comes to us. I mean, before it was pretty basic. You had your two major news magazines here in the United States. One was Time Magazine, the other Newsweek. U.S. World Reports, right? Okay, they were weekly publications, still are, right? You have your daily newspaper, but even a daily newspaper today is pretty much old news, right? It's stuff that came out last night. It's news that hit last night that took some time to get typed up, printed on paper, and then delivered to you, or you going out there and buying it. It's basically old, considering, I mean relatively old, considering at the rate with which we get information. And so we're not really interested in yesterday's news. We're interested in what's going on right now. And so technology gives that to you. You can open up your computer, go to a website that has news. You're not in front of your computer, don't worry. You can do it right from your pocket. Open up your smartphone, check out all the news you want. It's an app on your phone. And what happens is all of a sudden all this information is coming at you and you need time to process it. Remember last week we were talking about some of this, about taking some time. We have a YouTube video talking about how important it is for us to be mindful, this mindfulness that we talk about, that many of the Eastern traditions talk about. Well, it's very, very real in our lives. Mindfulness is something that our church, Armenian Orthodoxy, has been very mindful of. And in fact, it's one of the reasons when you go to church, it's that separation from that fast pace. And if there's any time that you need it, this is really the time where it's very important to touch that. So I'm asking you, where is your time? How do you find the time to find a balance, to find that equilibrium? Because things are just moving way, way, way too fast. And, you know, this being Gyaran Taraj, it's a matter of time, it's a matter of presentation, it's a matter of purification. And I thought what we'd do today in honor of this feast, Gyaran Taraj, is really look at that time from the scripture. But in particular, this song that we just heard, right, comes to us from the words to that song that we just heard comes to us from the Bible. It is from a book called Ecclesiastes, sometimes called Ecclesiastes. Actually, I like Ecclesiastes. Let's use that. And it's from the third chapter. I want to share it with you. Let's think about it. Let's do a meditation together, especially this being Gyaran Taraj. What does it mean that there's purification? What does it mean that there is a time for Mary and Joseph to come to the temple? What does it mean that Christ is being presented? What is that time in our lives today? Right? Is it just a history story? Is it just a matter of history? Well, if it is, then you're back into that whole Old Testament world, right? But if it's a living God touching us in a very living way, then it has to be real. Okay, let's read it. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." Now, here we go. A time to be born and a time to die. And that just sets it right off, right from the beginning, doesn't it? And you talk about the big ones, the time to be born and the time to die. And everything else is in between those two times. But what's important is that there is a time to die. And I think it's that acceptance. Sometimes we shy away from that because it is a painful departure. Is so, so painful. And we shy away from talking about that. But if there is birth, there has to also be death. The minute anything is born, it is living to get to that death point. Maybe that's not the way to say it. In other words, it's not the purpose that they're living. But eventually, that thing has to die. Okay, so there is a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what has been planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. Think about these words. Time to kill. Do you believe that there's a time to kill? That one is a hard one, okay? You don't want to admit it. I just redoing my office. My office is part office, part studio. It's part storage area. So we kind of got fed up with it. And so we're moving things around. And on one of the walls, I have a poster. It's from the 1960s. It is a poster about the war, during the anti-war movement. And it's this yellow flower that's blooming. And it says, "War is not healthy for children and other living things." And I thought that that poster itself really should be the centerpiece of that office decor. Because when you walk in there, I mean, everything else supports that idea that it is wrong to have war. There's better ways of solving our disagreements. And in so saying that, you're also saying that that is really the function of our lives, is to be able to get along with one another, for us to have that respect for one another. There is no reason for the wars. So, okay, we're going to get to wars in a few minutes, but is there a time for killing? Certainly says it over here. So think about that. It's an idea to meditate. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. You ain't got it, a time to laugh, right? It's okay to laugh. It's okay to have fun. A time to mourn and a time to dance. It's okay to dance, right? It's okay to dance. It's fun to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. We like to embrace. Time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? Okay, let's talk about that a little bit. Do you accept that? Do we all agree on this? Do you think that there's times for all of this? Well, right away, I think to myself, okay, is there a time for war? Is there a time for peace? And in reading this, here's the meditation. This is what I do, and this is really important, especially, you know, with Lent coming up in a few weeks. It's the idea of, okay, if it says there is a time for war and a time for peace, is there a way that we can imagine a scenario where war is not inevitable? When conflicts are resolved without war? Now, of course, we're taking war in its literal meaning. There's a time for war. Well, what about the war against poverty? The war against ill health? The war against the Battle of the Bulge? There was a World War II battle, but sometimes it's referred to as the Battle of the Bulge, the battle to lose weight. Is it okay to be in battle and be war against ill health? Of course it is. So, in meditating on these ideas, it challenges us to really go beyond the names, beyond the descriptors. And remember, a few minutes ago, we were talking exactly about this. You cannot take the literal translation for these things because you're going to get messed up. This is what happens to people. This is what happens in a world where we're not understanding. When we talk about in his shoes, what does in his shoes mean? That I take off my foot out of my shoe and put it in the shoe of others? Yes, that's the literal translation. But what is the metaphor? By walking in his shoes, I start understanding his pain. I start understanding his difficulties. I start gaining respect for that individual. Very, very important. that we understand that these words that we talk about right now have so many meanings and have had meanings throughout the centuries. It's very easy for us to be very tight about things. You remember there's a couple incidents that come to mind in Holy Scripture. One is the Transfiguration. Jesus is radiating with light. He is giving us a glimpse of his divine glory. And in that midst, we see Elijah, we see Moses, that he's being transformed. And Peter, what does he say? Instead of saying, wow, instead of being awed, he says, "You want me to make you a tent?" It's like at some point, this is all we can handle as human beings. We cannot understand that divine, and this is it. Okay, give me a tent so at least I could put it in order. Like an Excel spreadsheet, right? Okay, I've got some ideas out there. They're infinity. There's some big numbers over there. Give them to me, and I want to put them inside of this small little cubicle. And in that cubicle, I could start understanding some of the bigger things. And you see this throughout Scripture. Jesus does these incredible miracles, and what are people consumed with? Remember, he's giving them eternal life, and what are they consumed with? Hey, I want to eat. Where's my fish and bread? Okay, I'm here. He says, I forgive you your sins. Can you imagine? God. Can you imagine that? God. Saying, I forgive your sins. And you go, well, wait a minute. Hold on. I want something else. Okay. And he gives it to them. And I think humanly, this is what we always do, especially when it comes to matters of faith. Matters of understanding. We go for the ones that are easy instead of taking time to really look deep within. What are those things? There is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. What an incredible meditation. To think about the stones that need gathering and which stones we need to cast away. What does need healing and what needs to be broken down and thrown away? I think I shared this with you a few years ago when I was diagnosed with cancer. A dear friend of mine, she said to me, the way you're going to beat it is you're not going to accept it as cancer. She says, accept it as a tumor, get it out of your system. You don't have cancer. You have a tumor that needs to be taken out. Wow, that's right. Cancer is a form of a reality. Tumor is something you don't need. Kick it out. Get it out of there. Cast it away. A time to cast away. A time to throw away. Okay, for me, that's a small little meditation right there. Pertaining to health. How about relationships that we have? The meditations that we need to do about the relationships, about the people in our lives. I was talking with another person the other day who's going through a terrible, terrible relationship issue. And I guess one of the hard things was that relationship has been in his life for about 20 years. It's hard to part with. And can we break it down? I suggested, can you break it down to something like a crutch? Oh, no, well, we don't like that word crutch. But challenge yourself to think in those terms, right? We all have, if you sprain your leg, you get a crutch. And you use it. But you don't use it all your life. You use it until your leg is healed. Well, in life, we have relationships. And it's okay. It's okay for us to say that they are crutches. I mean, we need each other, right? You know, I hope you use me as a crutch. I hope I can be. What a beautiful thing that is. I helped you get out of a situation. And others, too, have come into our lives. They've been crutches for us, and that's okay. They've helped us move forward. And at some point, you need to put that crutch to one side, and you need to move forward yourself. And so in all of these things, there comes times. There comes times when we need to rise, times when we need to become people. today, Dyarantharach, the presentation of the Lord. It's about time. The time was right for purification. The time was right for Jesus to be presented. The time was right for Simeon. You go read the story. Luke chapter 2. The presentation is made in front of Simeon, who says, Lord, you have promised me that I would not taste death until I saw the Savior of this world. Right now, I see that Savior. And Simeon says that 2,000 years ago. Let's move it from history and bring it into our lives. Do we see that Savior? What is that time? Is the time right for us to see that Savior and see our salvation there through that Savior? It's the meditation. It's what's offered to us on Dyarantharach. Hey, wasn't that better than a fire? That pagan fire that they make. Here's Susie.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now growing daily with new listeners around the globe. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
We talk about that fire. There's a bonfire that they make on Dyarantharach, on the eve of Dyarantharach. And some of you know it. You know, we've seen videos of it. I've been to a few of them. It comes from pagan days. And it's interesting because people get caught up in those traditions instead of really taking some time to focus in on what's important in their lives. Where is their salvation? How do they get by? So that's all I meant by that, okay? Don't take me too literally, but, you know, I think this was a little bit better way of approaching Dyarantharach. Hey, listen, we're going to call it a day today. I've got some things to tend to in the next few weeks. I'm going to be with you hopefully next Thursday if I'm a little bit late as I am today. I hope you will consider me in your prayers, okay? I'm going to be going through a small little procedure. It's going to keep me in the hospital for a couple of days, but I should be in front of a microphone soon. And hopefully, like I said, next week we'll be broadcasting again from the Epostle microphones. But I do say this in all sincerity. I pray for you, and I ask for your prayers for me as well. And for this ministry, for Epostle.net. Hey, for the wonderful team who put today's show together, I invite you to get out there and connect with us on epostle.net as well as inissues.org, on our Facebook page, and do like us and listen to all of the great programming that comes out of Epostle. So for Susie, our producer, Vahir, our webman, for Ken, our engineer, this is Father Vazgen inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed and been blessed by this edition of The Next Step with Father Vazgen. We invite you to join us every week for our regular broadcast. This, as well as all other episodes of The Next Step, are available for streaming and download at epostle.net. In addition, you can stream, download, or subscribe at Apple's iTunes Store, Blueberry, and Stitcher Radio, or try our smartphone app. New episodes are available globally every Thursday. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. We invite you to point your web browser to epostle.net, where you can enter your email address to have the next step delivered directly to your inbox. For the production crew and all the members of In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.